News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
2 in 3 25-year-olds in this country say they experience discrimination. That's according to a new report from the Economic and Social Research Institute. Dr. Helen Russell is a research professor with the ESRI and she joins us on the line now. I have to be honest, Helen, when I was reading into this report last night and this morning, the figures seemed really stark. But are we talking about specific incidents here, actual specific reported incidents, or is it more a perceived sense of discrimination among those young people?
Yes, it's more the latter. So what we use in this report is the everyday discrimination scale. So this is based on a concept of discrimination that it's not just a one-off experience that happens in big moments in life, you know, like a job interview or finding accommodation. It's a recurrent experience that it can accumulate over time. So we see that this is part of the everyday life of many young people. So the things that they're asked about are items like, are you treated with less respect or courtesy than others? Are you threatened or harassed? Are you treated, do you receive poorer service in shops and restaurants? So it's those kind of experiences. So it's not the same as, you know, taking a discrimination case to the WRC. So, but we see that these have actually very real consequences as well for young people. So those young people that have higher levels of discrimination across these experiences have worse physical health and worse mental health.
Are there any big differences in gender-based discrimination in these age categories?
Yes, what's interesting is that at 17, so we look at a group of young people that are representative of the Irish population. It's a Growing Up in Ireland study. So they're interviewed at 17 and at 25 about these experiences. So when they're 17, we find maybe a bit unexpectedly is that young men are more likely to report discrimination than young women. And then when they're 25, it flips around. And when we dug into this a bit more at 17, it was because the young men were more likely to say that or to have experienced that people act as if they're afraid of you, and also that they'd been threatened or harassed. So there's kind of different experiences of young men and young women.
Yeah, and that actually really stood out for me, that particular line at 17 years of age, that our young men are more likely to report that people act as if they are afraid of you. What is driving that, do you think, Helen? What impact does that have, I think, on their self-esteem, on their self-confidence?
Yeah, so I suppose it's perhaps based on people's, you know, stereotypes of young men, or if they see young men, that they have a stereotype that they may be in some way threatening. But in terms of the impact, as I say, we see that young people who have higher scores on this scale have lower self-esteem, they've lower life satisfaction, and this is even taking into account what their level of self-esteem and life satisfaction was at age 17, and then we look at 25 and they have worse scores. They also are more likely to report depression symptoms and to be engaged in harmful alcohol consumption. So we see these, as I say, very real connections between high levels of discrimination and their outcomes at 25.
Did we have any sense of any strategy that is being adopted here to try and deal with some of this, or perhaps change attitudes that older generations have towards that cohort of people?
Well, I suppose there's a whole range of different policies out there that try and tackle inequality amongst different groups. So I suppose we also found, as well as those gender differences, we also found that there's certain marginalised groups that are more likely to experience discrimination. So young people with disabilities, young people from minority ethnic backgrounds, those of minority sexual orientation, and actually also those who were spending a lot of time online at age 17. So there are national strategies out there. There's national strategy against racism. There's Traveller in Roma strategy, strategy for people with disabilities. There's lots of good intentions in there, and I suppose it's important that they be resourced and monitored to see if they have the effect. I suppose within organisations, there's also policies for schools and universities and workplaces that are really important.
Yeah, particularly when you see the impact that this perceived discrimination is having on that age group.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.